the vault, high atop the pastoral center of the Diocese of Camden, you're listening to Talking Catholic.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Talking Catholic. This is Marianela Nunez, and with me, my colleague and friend here. Hey, Mike, how are
hey,
you
Marianela.
Today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well, very excited today. Like, you know, we have a very interesting podcast right around my wheel, you know, and
this is your absolute wheelhouse that we're going to be talking about today for sure. It's what
yes.
you do every day. That's
and it
exciting.
Was Easter, you know, and it's kind of like in this celebratory mode and joyous time of the year for us Catholics. And so just wanted to ask you how your, you know, Easter time went.
My Easter time went very well, and I'll note for the listeners, is as you are well aware, but I love this fact. We are, as my pastor said this weekend, we are still in Easter time for the next
Yes.
few weeks. So he said, he always says Happy Easter for the next couple of weeks, which is exciting. But it was an exciting time. It was a little tiring. You know this because we've talked about it already, but I'll share with the listeners. We, as a family, decided to go get a new puppy. And did not realize how much work that was going to be. And so we spent much of our Easter break chasing around a 10-week-old border collie named Gracie. We love her, but she is a terror and will get more gray hairs than I think my kids have given me, at least in the shorter amount of time. Anyway, but we love her. She's been a lot of fun. We had great time with family as well and celebrated, obviously, if not the biggest, you know, time in our faith. And we, my children and my wife and I, went to Holy Thursday Mass, Good Friday Mass, and then Easter Sunday. We did not attend, I don't want to say skip, but we did not attend the Easter Vigil. I think the kids are 1 or 2 years away from being able to really embrace the length of a really good Easter Vigil Mass. Although I do believe you took your kids, correct?
I did, and I have done that in almost every year since they've been little, and it's a challenge for how long it is. It actually, you know, in the Hispanic world, I think Mass is even longer than, you know, in the Anglo world, because, you know, we do a little bit more of like the music and I guess, you know, it just becomes long. It was packed, Mike. We couldn't fit anybody else in this church. People were standing all around. Like, it was incredible. So a good feeling of being there. You know, the kids got a little tired, but I think, you know, they enjoyed, you know, the lights, the candles, you know, the celebration during that day. And, you know, it's just joyous. And the music, you know, we have a batterist in our church who was, you know, part of the music, you know, department. And it was amazing. I loved it. And I think, you know, I feel like when I miss the Easter Vigil, I'm missing, like, you know, something. And I have my Catholic guilt going on, like, I can't do this. You know, I need to go. And so I went.
Well, and I, my children are altar servers now, and I think that'll definitely be a goal for them to attend that one. Cause we've gone, and I do enjoy that Mass. I love the candles. And as you mentioned, it's, you know, it's just more, now that they're up there, they're sort of partially center stage, for lack of a better term. So to make sure they understand, they got to be on for a few hours, you know, and if they're ready for that, then I'm glad. But
well, they also like participated in the Good Friday you know, celebration, and I was in charge of doing the Stations of the Cross for the parish. So that was fun. Like, we did it very simple with kids, and both of my kids participated. One of my kids was a soldier, and Mariana was Mary Magdalene. So she truly enjoyed the role. So it was kind of like, you know, what we do as Catholics. This is totally like a Catholic world, Catholic conversation. And we're very proud and unapologetically, you know, doing this because we love it. But
absolutely.
What do we have today? Because I think we've been chatting for too long, Mike.
Yeah, we have a great group of folks today. So as some of our listeners may know, and some of our school folks who might be listening know, you and I do a lot with our enrollment side of the school, the aspect of Catholic schools. So you are directly in charge of all of the enrollment, and I help do the marketing to help secure enrollment, retention, information about financial aid, scholarships, tuition assistance, things of that nature. And particularly, we work with one great group to do a lot of that for our schools, and that is FACS. So FACS, we've been working with for a number of years and have enjoyed the relationship. And so we thought, with the way technology is going, just in general, but also in the enrollment world, we would have two folks here. So we have Robin Parrish from FACS, and we have Jeff Stoddard as well. And we'll let them give their official titles because they're distinguished, and I frankly forget, and I don't want to mix them up. So I'll start with Robin. Robin, how are you doing today? Why don't you tell the folks who you are and what you do for FACS?
Well, hello, I'm doing great on this Friday morning. Thank you so much for having me here. My title at FACS is Enrollment Management Specialist. And basically what that means is I help our FACS clients, those who work in the admissions and marketing world, use our system efficiently and effectively and with best practice in mind. So making sure that our system's doing all that they need to do and that they know all of the buttons on our system that can help them. I recently did a webinar and I used a remote control as an example. There's a lot of buttons that can work for you, but we usually really just know the channel and the volume, right? Yeah. And then, right. And we don't know all the other things. So I love to help schools and admissions and enrollment directors learn all the buttons and help it work for them, really to streamline their systems and processes. And of course, the goal is to connect with more families and to share their mission, their value, their school, and to make sure that they're keeping up with their families. I did work in the admissions office in schools, so I just have a heart for that and a love for that. And I'm so thankful that I kind of get to continue in that world.
And just for our listeners, like Robin has been a great support for our diocesan schools here in the Diocese of Camden, doing exactly what she just said, you know, making sure that they know where the buttons are and what the best practices are. And she's certainly being a great resource for me as Director of Enrollment for the Diocese. So thank you for being here, Robin, today.
Of course.
I think if I'm not mistaken, Robin, you have a special phone in your office for Marianella specifically when she calls, correct?
Yes, and I even got to eat lunch with her in person at Elevate. And she might be one of the only three people that has my cell phone number. But yes, I have enjoyed doing different PD sessions for the Diocese of Camden and seeing the enrollment directors just really grow and their knowledge and excitement to kind of use it. It can be daunting to have a system, and we don't want it to be that way. We really at FACS want to provide the best customer service and really just help the schools grow in their knowledge and use of our systems.
Thank you for all you do. And I want to let Jeff kind of like, you know, tell us what you do. I know you're like the vice regional president of FACS in the area. We recently also had lunch and met with Linda Thomas, who's our rep for FACS. Tell us about what you do, Jeff.
Yeah, so thank you for both for having us today, and we appreciate you having us on the call today. And so my name is Jeff Stoddard. I'm the regional vice president for FACS here in New Jersey, locally here just up the road from you all. I serve schools in New Jersey, Long Island, and New York City, and pretty much Southern New York State. And so my role with the company, what brought me here actually is previously to here, I've worked in the K-12 space. I've worked in K-12 schools for about 15 years prior to joining FACS. And so my role here, and kind of similar to the one I had in a school, was always trying to make the lives easier for those that we work with, whether it's, you know, in the school, I was trying to make the lives easier for my teachers. And so here at FACS, I kind of, I'm here to help, you know, diocese schools, independent schools, make the lives easier, not only for the families, but for the staff as well. And so working with, you know, dioceses throughout the state, archdiocese, ensuring that you all have the tools to be successful and you know, make it easier for parents to choose a school that's right for their kids.
That's amazing. And so I think, you know, part of, you know, the invitation to the show today for you folks was, you know, the idea of telling our Diocese of Camden listeners and beyond, you know, what the trends are regarding like enrollment management nowadays and what our schools are trying to accomplish in terms of, you know, being more proactive about the technology that we use and how we accommodate parents and their experience enrolling at, you know, our Catholic schools. And so we have the luxury of having a system that is, you know, really well known in the country in this industry. And so I think not everybody knows in the diocese, you know, what we've been doing in the past few years so that we can get everybody in all of our schools to do online enrollment and application. So Robin, can you talk more about the trends right now about enrollment in not only Catholic schools, but in schools in general?
Absolutely. So the admissions enrollment journey is very different now. We call it a journey instead of a process, okay? Because it used to be like you do step 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Well, now it's a little bit more of a journey. Like parents are searching out you, you're searching out them, also kind of like a dating relationship, right? Kind of a courtship. And so schools need to understand that the parents are kind of courting you. You're kind of courting them at the same time. You're trying to get to know one another. And so you may have to have multiple ways and opportunities for them to connect with you, right? And you need to understand that this is kind of, you know, it used to be us in the admissions office, we got to tell our story to the parent. We were the voice. And now they're like, have all these other touch points. They're reading reviews online. They're asking other parents. They're observing the kids wearing your merch at, you know, local events. And they, before they call you, they've already done a lot of assessing on their own, right? Kind of like asking their friend, would she say yes if I asked her out, right? They're not just going to go ask them out. So before they get to you, they've already been researching you. And so knowing that, you have to really, one, think about your website. How is your website presenting to an outside person that doesn't know you? You know, 20 years ago, your website was for internal school families. Well, now it's outward focused. So we got to present ourselves and put on like how we want them to perceive and to know us. And we need to have easy ways for them to connect. And it is, as Marianella said, it is going online. It has been online. And so you need to make sure that you're meeting your parents' expectations and how they're used to engaging with different things, whether it be summer camp or whether it be, you know, even churches now and parishes and, you know, private schools, K-12 private Catholic Christian, all schools. They want to be able to, and they're expecting to submit an application online. They're expecting that. That's how they sign up for camps. That's how they do, you know, make doctor's appointments now. They're expecting to be able to schedule a tour after hours. They might have a job and be busy during the day, and they might arrive at a basketball game 30 minutes early, and they're going to sit on their phone, and that's how they're going to research your school. That's how they're going to schedule their appointment when they're available the next week. That's where they're going to fill out an inquiry form and show interest. And so you just need to make sure you're keeping up your dating relationship well, and that they're able to find you, learn about you, and then find ways to connect with you easily.
That's exactly, you know, I think the direction and the vision that we have for the Diocese of Camden, and, you know, just so that our listeners and parents that we have in our Catholic schools now know, you know, we've been embarking in this mission of trying to move most of our schools to online enrollment and application in the past few years. And I think, you know, it's been pretty successful in the sense that, you know, more school principals are understanding this need and the urgency and trying to move in that direction. And I think it's very important as we continue on with like the technology needs and customizing that experience for our parents and our families. And so, you know, this is what we do here in the Office of Catholic Education to try to improve the lives of our students, of our families, and everybody involved, even, you know, our faculty and staff too, because, you know, we do not only use products and services that, you know, have to do with application and enrollment, but, you know, the tuition assistance is part of it, which we also do through FACS. And so this is something that we continue to enforce and try to make sure that the schools are doing as an overall. So Jeff, you know, in your experience as, you know, the regional, you know, president for the company, you're seeing a lot of things, you know, and challenges. Like, what's been like the biggest challenge so far as, you know, schools are jumping into these kinds of, you know, initiatives?
For challenges, it's a lot of times it's getting in, you know, just kind of touch on the points from earlier. It's getting them into 2024 and moving towards that digital space that we're all living in. And so, you know, Robin, you brought up some great points about, you know, the school website, and, you know, it's the first impression, you know, for a lot, you know, I mean, it's the parent goes and they want to learn about this school. And so they go online, they find out, and it's that initial impression that they get. That's, you want to have that wow factor. And so, you know, some of the ones that I love, it's when you see that and they've got the visual of the campus, or maybe there's a video kind of walking them through what the school is like and a little, you know, quick overview tour. That's a big differentiator. And so a lot of schools are trying to get into that space now in terms of of just having that online presence, because it's the first impression. It's the cover of their book, and the book being the school. So it's been neat to see, and, you know, I've worked with Michael on a couple schools within the diocese to get their websites up and updated and running, because it is a trend that we're seeing of schools trying to make that leap into the 2024 year.
And I, you know, as you kind of continue with your points, that was one I was going to ask, because that is another service that FACS provides, right, is website building and its importance, you know, as we head into this. How do you sort of, on that part, how do you approach, given that you have the technology of the enrollment management, you know, platforms, the tuition assistance platforms, how do you kind of try to integrate that into your recommendations for website builds, you know, in terms of, you know, we know this stuff, you know, because we talk about it a lot, but for the listeners, you know, in the importance of having the inquiry form on the front, like, what are the kind of things that you recommend when a school comes to you and says, okay, we're rebuilding our website or we're creating a new one. What do we need to do to make sure that book cover is going to be front and center? It's going to catch someone's eye and it's going to make me open to the front page. You know, what's some of the advice you give?
Exactly. You want it to be catchy. You know, it's, you know, you think of, you know, to use the book cover example again, you look at the book on the shelf and, you know, in my head I hear, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, which is also true. But you want, it's what draws you in. And so when you're on that school's website, I want something to draw me in. I want to learn, you know, I see some, what they have, they'll get a drone shot of the over campus of their school. And that's such a neat thing, because it's, you know, some beautiful schools all across our state. And so, that, and then just as a parent, I want to be able to know, I want to find out more. And so that inviting look of, where can I click, where can I get more information? And so from the school's perspective, if I'm looking at, you know, inquire, like, you want to, you know, start the inquiry process to learn a little bit more about our school, we want to invite you out to come to an open house. You know, we have tools that are out there for the schools to be able to help encourage that process, because, you know, to Robin, your point earlier, it's a courtship, it's a back and forth, and it's, you know, you want to make sure that it's the right fit for you and vice versa. So,
yep. I'll add to that as well. For me as an enrollment director, I'm looking for call to actions. So these are what website people would say, you need a quick click to where they are going to do something. They're going to schedule a tour. They're going to fill out your inquiry form. And so these should be on every page of your website. Another thing I just heard in a recent webinar at Enroll Media is that this new generation has about an 8-second attention span. So you have to look at your website on your phone, which is how they look at websites. Mm-hmm. I go get my computer when I go to work. My children, who are in their 20s and 30s, grab their phone. So how far down do you have to scroll to get them? Your goal should be that they don't leave your website with you without you capturing their data. Okay, so you might need to rethink the great things that you want to say and say them in shorter snippets and then have a click here to read more so that those who just want the titles and the main points can keep scrolling, fill out your inquiry form quickly. And so only get what you need to follow back up with them. It's your job to learn more about the family as you court them and date them and talk to them on the phone and meet them in person. You don't need all that on your inquiry form. So I see a lot of schools trying to make those forms too quick, and they might think they're not long when they're looking at their website on their big monitors, right? And they're viewing it, but they have to understand, you know, how the parents are looking at it. And you really just need to look at it through that lens of a phone, call to actions to capture them before they leave your website. Because if they leave, they're gone and you need to get that lead.
Yeah, you want to start that conversation.
What would you tell like the parents that, you know, maybe a little bit of like lost thinking about the admission processes and how they go and might feel like intimidated by going on the technology, which, you know, doesn't seem to be the case with like the newer generation, but like, what would you tell to those parents, Robin?
The parents who, as far as the application process?
Yes, as far as like, you know, sure. Even inquiring and like going in and like what to look for when they're like, you know, trying to find a school for their children.
That's a great idea, because we really are about mission fit families, right? Our schools are about that. And the parents should be. You want your child in a school where that's best for them. And you might even have siblings that different schools are better fit for different children, right? And so I think, one, I don't know that parents are afraid to leave their information. Maybe some are, but I'd say do it. Like, inquire, look at several schools, fill out the form, and most of all, visit on campus. The whole looking from afar thing, you really need to get on campus. And you don't have to wait till you have kind of chosen that as your first choice to visit. You should visit early. You should visit often. Sorry, admissions directors who are like, no, just once. But I loved it. My parents would come to open houses. They'd come back for an individual tour. Then they'd come back and bring their dad or the grandparent that might be helping. That's awesome. You know, when you're courting and dating, you don't just go on one date. So schools need to understand this, and they need to let parents journey in their own way. So parents, get in. Get in the schools, ask the questions. Don't be afraid. Ask the hard questions. And schools, don't be offended by the hard questions. That's awesome, because they're really making sure, and you should be glad that this is going to be a good fit for their family.
You know, that's great. And I think, you know, we're now in like the peak of re-enrollment season. And, you know, a lot of families kind of like drag their feet to re-enroll right now and like to wait, and they don't feel like the urgency. Can we talk a little bit about like that and for enrollment wise, like why is it important for families that are, you know, re-enrolling right now to do it sooner rather than later? What have you seen so far in terms of like the trends nationally with all the clients that you have?
Sure. I think that schools need to create incentives for parents to get it done, right? So you can use kind of the early bird discount.
We do some of that, yes.
Or, you know, a late fee to not do it. And I think more than that, you just need to appeal to your families through a video from the head of school to why it's important. Like, we are planning for your children for next year. We want to hire the right teachers, the right number. We want to have good class sizes, and we count on you. So it's kind of changing that narrative of hurry up and just tell us to, you know, that positive narrative of like, we're making great plans for you. And we want to see if we have enough money to add, you know, more classes, more extracurricular things that would benefit your child, but we need time. And then we want to open our school to other families. So you take that positive kind of take, and that you're not faking it. It's real. No one does education that doesn't love and care about kids and families, and especially in Catholic schools. So no one's doing it for the paycheck. So let the family see your heart behind the urgency. And I think that's important.
That's great. Jeff, any trends that you may have seen so far, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but have you found recently in the past few years that families are re-enrolling earlier than ever, or what have you seen so far?
Yeah, I've definitely seen a trend of you know, moving that re-enrollment date or further up. Because, you know, Robin, to your point, it's not the, you know, we want to make sure you're coming here next year, but it is part of that big plan of, you know, we've got an exciting year coming up. You know, because when I worked in schools, January is the start of let's start planning the next school year. And, you know, from the family perspective, it doesn't really cross your mind at that point. But in January, when we're in the schools, we are busy, we're going, we're saying, all right, let's start planning for, you know, for the fall, because now is the time. What classes are we going to offer? What extracurriculars are we going to do? So getting that conversation started earlier allows the schools to have that, build that plan at a bigger scale.
And maybe this is just me, but maybe it's a few other folks, but have you also seen, and I know Marianella has done fantastic work on our end to move the date up and do it at a time where everyone's happy and excited about staying in the school. But isn't there a feeling of, hey, I checked this box and this, I don't have to worry about this for next year. You know, in terms of if you do the re-enrollment earlier and you got all set up, great. I know they're coming to school next year. I don't have to worry about that into the spring, into the summertime when other things are coming up. You know, is that real, or is that just sort of personality by personality that, you know, that the sense of urgency, as you mentioned, Robin, is important, but allowing them to know like, hey, we're taking this off of your list, you know, by allowing you to re-enroll earlier.
Absolutely. I think about it, 'cause I know we're coming up on, you know, the tax deadline. And so I'm an early filer for taxes. I like to get that done. And so to your point of the checkbox, a lot of people I know are like that. And it's because you want to get it off and you want to, you know, begin focusing on the next thing. And that's, you may have summer vacations planned, or, you know, you've got spring break coming up. Your child wants to stay in the school. You want to get that done and get it ready for next year, verify any, you know, email changes, phone number changes, address changes. You know, it's an opportunity to do that as well.
That's great. And, you know, as we're talking about, you know, the technology in the schools, and, you know, my question is, how do you feel like, you know, these kinds of technologies that are now available, and especially in your case, FACS, have revolutionized the world of admissions? And what are like the most amazing things that you see, you know, when it comes to that revolution that we've created in the past few years? And feel free to like answer Jeff or Robin.
Sure. Well, I've actually worked in the school with FACS through the evolution of the product. So I helped in the very early age implement online application to a school. I was there when they first started the whole expanding the inquiry part of it, and really allowing you to do so much more through that process. And so FACS has put a lot of money and time and effort into making our product better for our schools and to save time for our admissions enrollment directors. So it is a necessary thing for schools to tackle. And you still find people in schools who don't like change, which in education, you have to change. You're like the leader of change. That's what schools do. They should embrace technology first, right? Because we're training our students for the future. But I get it. It's hard. I'm that way too. But I think that schools think parents don't want to do it, but it's really they don't want to do it. And so because they're not comfortable with it, but you have to do it. You have to provide this for parents. It does save you time once you get it. It is the way of the now. It's not the way of the future. It's the way of the now. And I would even say the past. So we have to jump on board. And I'm just so proud to work for a company that provides so much support, because it is tough when you implement or use a new product or you're new in your job. And I'm just so proud of all that Fax does to support our clients so they can support and do the most important thing, which is to teach and train children for the next generation.
That's great. Any stories like that, you like success stories, as you have been around for a while, like in Jeff as well, that you feel like, oh my goodness, this was really good for that school and how it came out, like, you know, anything that comes to mind?
Well, I'll share one quick one that's a personal one. So I worked for a K-12 school in the Northeast and in a very competitive market. And we hired someone, a consultant, like so many schools do, to come in, you know, to look at everything. And then at the end to provide us with a list of things that, you know, like consultants do, that these are areas you need to improve on. And if we did all of those things, it had a very hefty price tag, like $100,000, right? And I knew our school, I knew our budget, and I knew we couldn't do all those things. So I committed to figure out what all Fax could do. Like, one was a new website with this, a really expensive company. And I'm like, you know, I think Fax does website. It's, and again, I'm not trying to sell the product, but it worked for me. We implemented the Fax website at a fraction of the cost, and it did everything that our consultant told us it needed to do. And it was fabulous. And they're still using it now, 10 years later. And, you know, making tweaks and updates as needed. Again, we needed to have another system to track. They even sent me to a school to observe a whole nother product to track inquiries. Again, we didn't have the money to do it. I'm like, I bet Fax can do this. I went to Elevate. And then I came back with just like, it was amazing. I'm like, we could do all this with what we have. So I would say I'm a success story. I learned, I just decided to do it.
Yes, you are, Robin.
And figure it out and save my school money, but yet do what we needed to do to grow our enrollment. The whole thing was we needed to grow or even maintain. You might be at enrollment, but you have to always be maintaining it. Just because you're full doesn't mean you should stop marketing and connecting with leads and connecting with people. I just dug in. I had been using it for 2 years. I took over. The old admissions person trained me. She only had a skeletal idea of what it could do. So I just embraced it, dug in. I wasn't comfortable. And it was amazing what I was able to accomplish using what we already had and not having to spend money we didn't have, because we didn't have it and we wouldn't have it.
That sounds like us. You know, it's kind of like we try to do much more with what we have available. Like, you know, budgets are always tight. And so we try to do the best we can with what we have at hand. And that's, I think, the Catholic school philosophy, right, Mike?
Yes, absolutely. Jeff, how about for you? Any stories recently or in your work that you found, you know, just like Robin's, that had a experience where everything proved out, you know, the way you were hoping it would?
Yeah, just, you know, speaking with some of the schools, you know, around here, that are newer to FACS, it's, you know, you've made our lives easier, you know, and it's sometimes it takes that person to be the change agent in the school where they've come in. And it's, you know, it's, I'm, you know, again, it's 2024 and you go into a school and they're still, you know, doing checks in the office and there's cash all over the office there. There's a much easier way to do it. And that's, you know, hearing from the school, like, oh, you freed up our time to be able to go in and, you know, concentrate on running the school in the day to day. Cause you do want to make more with what you've got. And if you've got someone that can come in and help take over that piece, it's rewarding for me as a, you know, former educator to hear that, again, you've made the lives easier of someone else to be able to focus on the end result, which is educating the kids. So.
And let's, you both mentioned that you've been on that side, the admission side or in the school side. So what is something for parents to understand or prepare for, you know, going back to that dating analogy of, you know, how should they get ready for the date? Right. You know, what are some of the things you mentioned, you know, checking out reviews, but as they're going through this process and starting the application process or starting the tuition assistance, what are some of the things that you've noticed over your time that are common things that they forget or common things that they didn't look out for or felt unprepared when they got to you and it took a little bit more time? Like, what are some things the parents, you know, for our listeners who are thinking about a Catholic school or re-enrollment, like what should they look out for and have prepared as they're starting this journey?
That's a great question. So I would say when applying, you know, you're going to apply to a school, so you need to have copies of your children's school records and be ready, have health forms for re-enrollment. So you need to collect your paperwork. Like Jeff said, it's tax season. Just like you do for your tax return, before you start it, you have to get your documentation. So for parents, do that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have the contact at your child's current school. But again, copies of all of their records, test scores is super helpful to have ahead of time. When you're ready to apply, you can upload it directly or give it to the school in the format, in the way that they would like to receive it. The other thing I think is super important is understanding the financial aid part, right? And I know this is big in, you know, higher ed, but it's also big in K-12, in Catholic education. You know, you see the tuition price. Don't let that scare you away. Visit the school, call the school, ask the questions. What might you qualify? What can you apply for? And really research that and understand the difference between a grant and a scholarship and financial aid. You know, some are need-based. You know, some are based on, you know, your academic ability or other things, or there might be even scholarships, but based on the state that you're in or the county or your local parish. So really understand that whole financial piece. Don't just look at it and leave the website and not make a call. Catholic schools do so much to help their families get into the schools. And so don't be ashamed or embarrassed or afraid to just ask, what's there for me financially? And how do I do it? Which means you're also going to have your tax returns ready and done. And be a Jeff. How about that?
Yes. Say that. Get it done early. Yeah.
Be a Jeff. Get it done early.
Hashtag be a Jeff. Okay.
We just pulled two great titles in that one answer for this podcast. If we did titles of the podcast, that would be one. Don't be afraid of the tuition number and be like Jeff. I think are both, if we walk away with anything, because that is true. I mean, that's one of the things I think Marianelle and I probably say on a daily basis to the schools about talking to their parents is don't let that sticker shock be sticker shock, right? Like don't let that be the reason that you don't come in, because there are so many things we could do to help you. And it could be need-based. Like you said, you could have a really great student. There's so much available that number is only the starting point of the conversation, right?
Absolutely. You know?
That's great.
I had a parent tell me one time in the missions office, they called and they had been in the area for 3 years and they had gone on our website, seen our tuition and then left and never called. You know, and now the kid wasn't doing well or they weren't happy with where they, so they called. And I'm like, we could have had that family 3 years earlier if we had done a better job. Yeah. Shame on us for not presenting it well on our tuition page.
Yep.
Right. And in that, the heart of that, get an outside person to look at your website. Mm-hmm. Get your aunt or your cousin or someone in another state. You at your school don't have the ability to review your website with the same lens as someone that doesn't know anything about your school. Because if another faculty member or parent, a PTO president looks at it, they already know so much that they're filling in the gaps without knowing it.
Right.
So having the help, that's like free help.
Yeah.
Find an admissions director in another diocese in another state and say, hey, let's look at our websites. And help give me.
I like that project, Mike.
Yeah, no, that's I am writing that down because I do that for our schools quite a bit, and I try to do exactly what you're saying. I try to put this lens on that I've never been to the school, or I don't know the process, and when I write the notes, I've review them and try to clean them up a little bit before I send them to the school. And that's, I do have this sense of, I want to put in the body of in the introduction of the email. Don't forget, I know what you're doing, but the people that you're reaching out to don't. So these comments that I'm making are based on someone who just visited your website, and we might both know the process, but they don't. And so we've got to, another analogy, you know the way to a certain, landmark or location, you think you know the best way. But if it's a separate driver, let them put it in the GPS, let them find it themselves sort of thing, because you might miss something that you don't typically think about that someone will. I especially when it comes to tuition stuff, I think we're so involved in it that we forget the normal folks. And I think luckily for Marianelle and I, we both are parents of Catholic school students and go through the process ourselves each year. And we are also like Jeff in that, at least for myself. Yeah, we are. I am like Jeff in that we get it done early and we actually save it on the desk because it's, we have the tax return appointment we file and then we go to fax and we submit our stuff because it's all one great sort of movement, and then we can file it away for the year. I do commend you for that.
And we encourage parents to, fill out financial aid, even if they think they may not qualify, because sometimes people disqualify themselves and they don't know what might be available. So it's, it's something that takes only about maybe 20 minutes to complete. I would consider myself an expert in filling out financial aid applications. Now I've done a lot of them helping families. So just know that we don't want any family who wants to apply through the process to be left out and not do it, because I think, it's important that even if they don't know how to do it, to reach out to the school and get the help that they need. If they need Spanish support, I'm available in this office to help families like navigate that process, because we believe is very, very important. And we have it as a diocesan policy that all of our schools, fill out FACTS financial aid for us to distribute financial aid to the family. So I think, make sure you follow the deadlines. Mike has been working on our website, putting out this information out there, making sure that we provide some tips to the families so that they know what to expect and what to look for when it comes to, the financial aid process and enrollment. So thank you for doing that, Mike, because I think it's relevant, very important information.
I love that point you brought up, Marianelle, about timelines. I work with so many schools when I go to their admissions page and there are no timelines about anything. Mm-hmm. They don't tell their families when applications open. Like we start October 1st. They don't tell them a deadline. They don't tell them when they'll start accepting. financial aid deadlines. That's so important to have that information, timelines for families.
That's great.
Yeah, it's education. I mean, it's so funny to me. I say this a lot here, and that, you know, I'm in the marketing side of things and communication side, but in essence, in some form or fashion, I'm an educator, right? In a weird way, because we have to educate folks on those things. And I try to explain that to the schools. Again, going back to the, you don't know what you don't know. Like sometimes they don't know. And so educating them on what these things mean, or that you can qualify, or any of those options for them, we need to educate and do it. And then back to the point of, you have to do it in 8 seconds, right? Yeah. Where you have to do it fun and flashy and meme like, and whatever video, you know, I that was going to be one of my questions, you know, maybe trend wise, or what you could speak to on how do you think schools, or, you know, other, yeah, school folks should talk about these things, you know? And you mentioned like a note or a video from the head of school, you know, what grabs people to help them better understand the process? You know, what have you seen that's worked well in that world of social media, website, you know, technology to help explain the process for people? Either Jeff or Robin, you know, what have you both seen on that?
So that's a little bit of both. And re-enrollment, because you said, you know, you're using the re-enrollment to get your current families engaged in re-enrolling and committing to you for another year, and then your new families, right? So I think absolutely. Social media, I don't think I'd use for re-enrollment, right? Because that's your current families. You don't want your outside people feeling a sense that you have to like work to get people to stay at your school, right? So I think that's an internal messaging that you use for your current families. But again, I think admissions directors need to talk about financial aid in the beginning. If you feel like that is a roadblock for a lot of your constituents, then you need to just mention on the front end. Don't ask a parent, so do you need financial aid? That's a horrible question, right? They might think that like you might not accept their child if they say yes, or you'd put them in a lower standard. So you just talk about it. Hey, you know, a lot of our families apply and receive money. You act like it's normal, kind of like it's become in, you know, higher ed. It's just normal that most people get something. And you just talk about it, normalize it.
Yes.
You know, 100%. You want to be sure that you apply. FACTS has this great, you know, product, and, you know, it's easy. You just need to tell them, get your tax return done. You know, give them the information they need so that when they finally make the decision, they're not like roadblocked by, they have to do all these other things first. So you need to be talking about it, which means you got to get people on the phone and in your office. So make sure they can get in your school and on the phone easily. And that when they call your school, I'm sorry, this is a tangent, that they're not going to voicemail, because I'm telling you, my children in their upper 20s and 30s don't leave voicemails. Yep. They're afraid to leave a message to a stranger.
They'd rather text you, right? They'll text you
every time they call your office, they're connected to a phone where no one sits, and they have to leave. They're going to hang up. And I told this to like our marketing team at FACTS, and they were all in their 20s and shaking, saying, absolutely. Like, this is anecdotal information. There are no studies that I'm presenting, but I'm telling you it's truth.
Yes. So they don't listen to them either.
You have to answer the phones at your school, and someone needs to be well equipped to talk to your families and answer basic questions, or don't send them to a voicemail to leave a message. Get their information so someone can call them back.
That's great.
Tangent, sorry.
We love this.
I think, you know, and I think, you know, our schools know, I think the, you know, they try the best they can to their abilities and their staff that they have to really provide a good service for our families. I think this is a part of our mission here in the Office of Catholic School for South Jersey Catholic Schools, to make sure that we provide the best experience we can to the families that we have, and to those who are coming. But I think I want to transition into something a little bit, different here. And this time, talking about why you guys are where you are today. Like, how come, Robin, you are, an enrollment director? How did you become that? And then Jeff, how did you, become the vice regional president for, a technology company? Why don't we start with you, yeah. Jeff? Hear your love.
Sure. So I fell into teaching when a long time ago, back in my 20s. And so I worked a lot as a kid alongside my father, who was a computer programmer, and he got me hooked on and loving technology. And so from a young age, I built computers with him, learned to program with him, and we would go and we would volunteer our time at, underprivileged summer camps where we would teach other kids technology. And so I was actually in Massachusetts and had the opportunity to, I was there for work with another company, but I saw that there was a high school hiring for a technology teacher. And I said, and that little, thing of the memory of my father came back in my head, and I said, that would be fun. And so I called the school and they said, come in for conversation. And we just kind of like this, we're just sitting back and talking. They're like, let's do this. And I'm like, okay, let's go. So had a wonderful experience inspiring kids, because a lot of them, technology, they didn't sign up for my class always. Sometimes they just got it. And lighting the fire in them to learn a passion for something that they may not have known that was been there. So continue teaching, worked and wanted to kind of have a bigger impact on kids. That was like my big thing, is just seeing that spark in the kids. And so got to become to a leadership position K-12, and loved having that bigger pond to work with. And instead of one classroom of, 20 something kids, I've got a school of 1,000 students that I can now make an impact on. And so I did that for about 7-8 years. And then I kind of like that itch came around again. I was like, I need to have a bigger impact. And so got into the software side at a previous company, and wanted to, again, to have something different. And that's where I kind of got into the fax world. And it kind of goes back to the issue of just lighting a spark in someone and making things easier for those that I serve. So
that's wonderful. What a trajectory. What about you, Robin?
Well, I first heard about admissions when I was applying for school and college, and I went to Auburn University, Four Eagle. And the man, and again, admissions was so different back then, right? I mean, but the person who was kind of my admissions coordinator that I asked me if I, once I got accepted, if I would work for him. And I said, I loved him. I was like, of course. I mean, it was like a dream job. You know, I got to sit outside his office and meet families and students that were interested and greet them. And I got to, I don't even remember all I did, but I do remember this one story because it stuck in my mind. Is, I had a fancy typewriter where it had a memory, it could remember a few sentences. And I remember typing 500 letters and spelling sincerely wrong. And so I like, every time I write sincerely, it's like I have PTSD. And I joked because my daughter was looking at Vanderbilt and he was working there then. And I told him, like, do you still remember when I spelled sincerely wrong? Please don't hold it against my child. But anyway, so that just kind of sparked, of course you don't go to college and major in admissions. I majored in education, went on to teach, married my husband right out of college, and he's been in K-12 school for 32 years. So my whole life has been around independent, private, and for us specifically Christian schools. And that's taken us from Tennessee overseas, 9 years at an international school in South Korea and in the Northeast and the South. And I love the world of admissions. I'm so thankful that I got to work in that role for 13 years. I loved hearing family stories. I loved praying with families as they are contemplating, deciding whether to go private school or not, or which one. The heartbreak of denying a family, I don't love that, but just being able to come alongside them in that moment and understanding God's big picture is way bigger than that one moment for that child, that one day or that one year. I first learned about the book, Be Our Guest, you know, the Disney Institute. And like, that's really the world of admissions, is you are opening the doors, like those big pearly gates of Disney World, to have been like, be our guest, like helping a family learn about the school and showing them around. And I love the world of admissions. I'm so thankful when we moved and I didn't have a job where my husband's job was, this job came up with facts. And like, Jeff, now I get to impact and help thousands of admissions directors through this job, and to help them review their stuff, look at it through a different lens, and be the best they can be for their families and their schools, and to help grow their enrollment. And really, it's a ministry, right? All of us are in education, public school, private school. It's a ministry. And I love doing that every day for Tom.
Yeah. And you can, like, you keep educating. You, like, you know, you
I get to be a teacher. I get to keep being a teacher too.
You teach us every time. So, you know, I think you, and she's a fantastic one, listeners. Yeah. You know, every time we bring Robbie in, our folks love her. She's kind of like so down to earth, and also, like, you know, very clear in her explanations of how to use all of the buttons of that remote control that you mentioned at the beginning. So, you know, also, like, we've had a great experience. Jeff and I have met, you know, I think for the past 2 years or so, year and a half.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we are thankful for our partnership and thankful for the service you provide to our schools and our families. And, you know, we hope to continue to do the best we can to provide that experience that we want for our families. And just know that, you know, this is a work in progress in all of our schools. They might be at a different stage and level of these, but this is kind of like the direction that we want to move on, because this is what's of now. This is of 2024 and what we kind of like need to focus on. We invite any family that is kind of like willing and wondering about Catholic education to check us out at SouthJerseyCatholicSchools.org. And we want to thank Jeff and Robin for their time with us today and for everything they do every day to, you know, support us and help our schools here in South Jersey and nationwide.
Yes. Thank you so much. And to our listeners, we'll thank you for listening, and we'll talk to everybody again next week. Thank you so much.